opportunities to study your word and the messages of our beloved Savior to his church, particularly his seven churches. We do pray that down the ages we would hear what he is saying to us at Pelton Evangelical Church, and we would be enabled into your good and wholesome way. And we do pray, and we give ourselves afresh to you this day, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So as we thought on Wednesday evening, God's power is made perfect in weakness. It is through weakness that God works his mighty power. So we have a question this morning for all of us. Are we feeling weak? Are we feeling as those with a little strength? Well, guess what? There's a message for us this morning. There's a message for you this morning. If you're saying this morning that you are strong and feeling you could take on the world, well, we really haven't got a message for you this morning. And I would actually say to you that you're in the wrong place as regards to receiving any message from God, because the message from God comes to those who are weak. So I say, if you trust in yourselves, then you are in a very dangerous position indeed, because that is the way that leads to destruction. The way that leads to life is when we acknowledge our brokenness before God and humble ourselves before God. So I call upon us all this morning immediately to humble ourselves before God and to realize our weakness, and then we can know that God will use us, because his strength is made perfect in weakness. After all, the word of the Lord does say in Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And we are encouraged in Ephesians 6, verse 10, to realize that we need to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might, not our might. And the church, which says that they were strong and fine, which is, God willing, to be dealt with next week in Revelation in chapter 3, from verse 14 onwards, says in verse 17, that church said, I am rich, I have prospered, I have need of nothing. You're not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. That was the Lord's view. They thought they were fine. Well, the Lord says you're not fine. And the worst state to be in this morning is just to say I'm fine. We need to be aware that we totally need God. And when we're aware that we totally need God, we're in a good place. Children, you need to know that. All of us, we need to know that. And that's what we want to have before us this morning right away. That God's strength shows up most beautifully, most perfectly in weak people, in weak churches. And we start to be a little encouraged this morning that Pelton Evangelical Church, we might consider ourselves to be a weak church. God has a message for us. This message, of course, is for the church at Philadelphia. Those years ago in modern-day Turkey, there was a church at a place called Philadelphia. Philadelphia means brotherly love. But there's also a message for all the churches. If you go down to verse 13, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. All the churches, including which church? Pelton Evangelical Church. There's a message. Are we going to take heed this morning as we come together? Let's think first of all then, as we come into what the Lord was addressing to this church those years ago, I want to think about stability. We want to think about getting some stability. And as has been mentioned as we've gone through these churches, there are things connected with the places where the churches are which link in with the message which is brought by the Lord Jesus Christ. In AD 17, Philadelphia had been affected by an earthquake which devastated the place. And there were aftershocks that went on afterwards. The place was shaken, and as a result, many people left, went to the hills. This had reminded them, this had shown to them instability, disruption, and all kinds of turmoil. Instability. Things are very similar today with our own lives, aren't they? We may not have experienced earthquakes in the UK, literally, but in many ways we've been experiencing earthquakes this year, haven't we? We through the coronavirus outbreak and all of the shakings and upsets that have come into all of our lives to a degree, some more than others. And what are people doing in the context of the instability which we see through the coronavirus? But instability comes in so many ways, isn't it? We think we've got our life sorted out, then our money goes, somebody breaks into our houses, we end up with illness, and everything starts to destabilize. And everybody is striving to get stability. Striving, if only I can get into this position with this amount of money, with this relationship, then it'll be stable and it'll be fine. That's what the world is all about, and that's what our advertising industry is largely selling to the world all around us. And I'm going to say to you this morning that stability is not found in our circumstances. Stability is found in a person. Stability is not found in our circumstances. Stability is found in a person. So the instability in the area of Philadelphia, the church is not being sold to, not being told to get bigger houses and get better property. It's told to remember who your Lord is. Remember who your Lord is. So what does he say? Here is the Lord revealing himself as the Holy One. Go into your passage in chapter 3 and verse 7. The words of the Holy One. He's revealing himself as the special one. Dare I say, the God One. I am God presenting myself to you. I am the true one. I am the genuine one. Absolutely rock solid, genuine. A lot of people will sell you all kinds of religious junk, but Jesus will never do anything of that sort. He will always give you genuine life. So he is the one who is God. He is the true, reliable one. And he is the one who's in control. He has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one opens. And that tells me he's in control. When he's locked the door, nobody's going to unlock it. And when he's opened the door, nobody is going to lock it. He is in control. This is the one who's in control. But he has the key of David. And again, a thing you find in Revelation continually is that going back to the Old Testament, this goes back to Isaiah chapter 22, and a man by the name of Eliakim, and he was a man who was given authority among the people of Israel. And he was the one who in verse 22 of chapter 22 of Isaiah, it says, "And I will place on his shoulder the key of the house of David. He shall open and none shall shut. He shall shut and none shall open." And he had to control over things operating in those days long ago. But here is one who has the ultimate key of David. He is the one who has the key. What is it when we have a key? Have a key. But when I was 21, I don't know whether we have this nowadays. When I was 21, we used to have the phrase, He's got the key of the door. Never been 21 before. I don't know if anybody remembers the song, Gordon. And the idea is, this person is now trusted with some authority. They've reached the age of 21. We're going to trust them. They've got to give them a position where they can have entrance to the house. And here is the Lord Jesus. He has the key of David. He has the key. What do you think of David? David is the king. David's kingdom is the ultimate kingdom of our Lord Jesus Christ. He has entrance, the control of entrance and the control of everything concerning the spiritual kingdom of our God. And the one who's got the key is our Lord. He's in control. Are we unstable this morning? And probably if you've listened to the news a few times this week, it all leads you to feeling unstable, doesn't it? We want to see Jesus. We want to see him as the God one, as the reliable one, as the one who is in control. We want to see him. I saw a cartoon this week online. I don't know if you saw it, but it just is quite telling about where people go with regard to their interests in life. There were two booths. There were two places with people sat at them. And one of them had a sign up, coronavirus, second wave, come here for help. And the other one had a sign up, second coming of Jesus Christ, come here for help. There's something along those lines, not exactly like that. And there was a massive queue to the coronavirus store, and there was none to the second coming of Jesus store. And that is just indicative of where people are at, isn't it? They all want to go for, I want to get sorted out as regards to getting through whatever the coronavirus thing might bring. I don't want to take away from the realities of that, but I do want to say to us, the big issues of life are going to the boom, which is of Jesus Christ, and getting our lives stable. So I want that first point to sink into us this morning, as it would be driven into the place of Philadelphia and the church there. Let's get Jesus Christ central. Let's get stabilized in him. Bank account may come and go. Everything else may come and go. But he will never come and go. He's the God one, the reliable one, the one who's in control, the one who's in control of the kingdom that matters, the kingdom of our God. Secondly, I want to think about opportunity this morning. And there's a bit of a flow here, isn't there? You've got stability now. You can move forward. You've got some opportunity. Well, let's go and look at verse 8 then for the opportunity. I know your works. All I've set before you, an open door which no one is able to shut. I know that you have but little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Again, there's a significance concerning the place Philadelphia here. One of the key things about Philadelphia and the way it was as a place was that it was a missionary place. It wasn't primarily a military place or a place of economic happenings, although they may well have been there. But one of the key things about the place was it was a missionary place to spread news about the Greek culture. And take it eastwards. It was to spread it out about the Greek culture. And the Lord is saying to the church at Philadelphia, I've got a greater culture for you to spread out. I've got a greater message for you to spread out. I am the one who has the keys of the kingdom, the key of David. And I'm saying, as the one who opens and cannot shut, that I present before you. I set before you an open door, which no one is able to shut. Period. He's opened it, no one can shut it. And the idea is, I've opened it, and it stands open. Church at Philadelphia, I have opened this door. There is a door of opportunity now. This is the missionary call. This is the evangelistic call. This is the going out call to the Church of Philadelphia and to the Church of Felton Evangelical Church this morning. To go out. There is an open door. And the people at Philadelphia said, we're weak. We're weak. We just haven't got many resources. And he says, I know your works. I know everything about you. And I know that you are weak, he says. I know that you have but little power. You haven't got many resources. You haven't got vast gifts. You haven't got this, that, or the other. But they are a church that has been faithful to the word of God. Verse 8, they have kept the word of the Lord, and they have not denied the person of Christ's name. I use your name. If I say Kai Henderson, I know what that represents. I know what he's like. I know some things about him. Well, the name of Jesus Christ is his name, who he is. And they steadfastly stuck to Jesus Christ, and they have steadfastly therefore stuck to the gospel of Christ, and they are there as a weak people, cleaving to the word of God and the person of Jesus Christ. And in all of their weakness, he says, well, you've got to get a bit stronger. Hang around, guys, and then you wait till you get a bit stronger, and then you got to take a bit of action. There's an open door now. There is an open door now, Felton Evangelical Church. The Lord is not saying, wait 6 months until you've got this, that, and the other. He's saying now. And you say, well, we tried it before and it didn't work. The Lord says, there is an open door now. Be going out. Be going to take the wonderful message of the Lord Jesus out. Be getting church planting on your agenda, Felton Evangelical Church. Get evangelism on your agenda. Individually get praying for the people in your neighborhood that you might be having opportunity to speak to them. There is an open door. Don't take it on the basis of my word. Take it on the basis of his word. It's open now. We don't know how long it's going to be open, even in this land. Things do change very rapidly. So, Felton Evangelical Church, be up and doing and speaking to the leaders of the church and say, what are we doing about this open door? Are we going? But you say to me, well, we've got so many difficulties in the church. You know, we got these problems and we got those problems. When we've sorted out the problems, then we can think about going. Well, as I read the New Testament and as I read these letters, the Lord Jesus doesn't speak that way. He says, basically, get on going and sort out your problems while you're going. He doesn't say, ignore your problems. You've got to address them. We've got to address our problems here. But we don't just wait and address our problems and then we think we'll do some going out. The letters throughout the New Testament, the letters in Revelation 2 and 3 are basically along the lines, yeah, there's problems. Repent, address them. But still keep pursuing the right things while you're repenting and addressing them. So I say, to us as a church, every church has got problems. Every church has got difficulties. But we don't want to be living in denial. We want to address our situations. We want up and going. I want to set before you the opportunity this morning to be going. Not because I say so, but because the Lord Jesus says so. There's an opportunity. Younger ones, get involved. Hearing me online, you can get involved. All of us. Today is the day of salvation. We do not know how long we have. We do not know how long we have. So there is a stabilizer. And then there is an opportunity. And then what comes next? What do you think comes next? When everything's now set up for progress, everything's set up. There's someone around who generally gets involved now, isn't there? The church is set up for progress. He normally appears, doesn't he? And his name is Satan. Interesting, the two churches which had nothing said against them, that is, the church in Smyrna, the second church in Philadelphia, the sixth church, guess what? Both of them had a synagogue of Satan in the locality. Yeah. The churches that were making it for God both had a synagogue of Satan on the scene. So there is difficulty. There is present difficulty as we come into verse 9. Present difficulty. These are people of the synagogue of Satan. They say that they're Jews, but are not, but lie. So what's going on here? I take it they were basically saying, we are the people of God here in the synagogue because we're Jews. You church people, you're nothing. But God is saying, they're lies. They're lies. The true people of God are not the people who've got circumcision in the flesh, they're the people who've got circumcision of the heart. But they were threatening the church. They were the synagogue of Satan, coming against the church. And the Lord says, I'll show who's right. End of verse 9. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they will learn that I have loved you. What this fully means, whether it's something that was going to happen in the near future or something in an ultimate eternal context, that they would be shown to have taken the wrong way. The people of God are those who believe in Jesus Christ and know him as Lord, not those who profess all kinds of faith according to the way of this world. And they're going to know. What are they going to know? The church is going to know that the Lord loves them. And others are going to know that the Lord loves them. Say that at this moment. You're feeling a bit bereft. The Lord loves you. The Lord has a tender interest in you. So that was the present difficulty from these people of the Jewish background, the synagogue of Satan. There's also a future difficulty which the church was anticipating. So we carry on into verse 10. The Lord says, because you have kept my word about patient endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to try those who dwell on the earth. I take it that the church of Philadelphia had heard about this period of time, a future time when God's wrath will be poured out on this earth. Time, which is the tribulation period, a seven-year period of God's outright day of the Lord, open judgment on this earth. Terrifying, terrible, awesome. And just they were thinking, we won't be able to get through. We won't be able to get through that. And the Lord is saying to encourage them, you're not going to have to go through that because I'm going to deliver you from that. It doesn't say here, I'm going to deliver you through that. It says, I'm going to deliver you from that. And therefore, I would put it to you that the church of God will be delivered before that period of tribulation, terror, and judgment falls. And so this is essentially an encouragement. They've proven that they are true Christians in verse 10, because you have kept my word about patient endurance. They've kept going. They're a faithful people. They're keeping going for the Lord. I will keep you. They kept with the word, and therefore the Lord is saying, I'm going to keep with you. I'm going to deliver you out of this trial that's going to come upon this earth. You are my people. a heavenly people. And it's an encouragement to them that he would deliver them. If the first present trouble, they're aware that the Lord loves them. Here they're aware of this future trouble, that the Lord will deliver them. And everything is in his hands, and all is well. Everything is in his hands, and all is well, fellow believers. And so as we face the difficulty, whatever it might be, you see, Satan's always interested in a church that is looking to have an opportunity. Yeah? I don't remember reading about anything about Satan last week when Richard helpfully brought us stuff about the church at Sardis. They were a dead church. Satan's not bothered about dead churches. He's bothered about live churches. Even if we're weak. Well, particularly because we're weak. Because that's when his power is known. So that is the difficulty. And the difficulty is overcome by knowing the Lord and his working as we stand steadfast, holding on to his word and keeping it going. So we've stabilized ourselves with knowing Jesus. We've seen a door of opportunity. And don't let that drift from us, fellow evangelical church. We love brothers and sisters. And then we see there are difficulties, but the difficulties do not thwart the opportunity. And as we then move on, we see a certainty. We see a certainty as we come into verse 11. I am coming soon. Certainty. What is the certainty? The return of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mentioned earlier that booth in that illustration about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is not fiction. That is truth. The Lord Jesus says he is coming soon. And the Lord Jesus could be coming at any time. And he's coming to deliver us into his everlasting glory. Fellow believers, we should think more of the Lord's return than we do. We should live in the light of the Lord's return. So how are they to live in the light of the fact that he's coming soon? He's coming himself. Nobody else. He's coming on his behalf. He's coming for himself. He's coming himself for his people. He said, hold fast, will you? Hold fast. Oh, would you like something glamorous? Would you like something going involved in some big activity and get yourself in the Christian newspapers because you don't know when the Lord's coming? And the Lord says, no. Just hold fast. Just keep going. You know, the final declaration of what really matters is not tomorrow or whenever in this world, it is the day when we meet our God. And so he's encouraging them to keep going with a warning which says, you do this because if you don't, you could lose your crown or have your crown taken away from you. One of the themes of Scripture is that those who enter eternity and are blessed by God for their faithful service are those who are given crowns. And he's stirring them here to think about, you don't continue, then you will lose your crown. You will lose out. There'll be some degree of loss. And so hold on. Hold on. Now, are you thinking this morning, is it worth it keeping going? You're thinking, well, it's been tough. I've been through some tough stuff, and I don't know how I can keep going. And the Lord says, just hold on. Just keep going. The certainty is that Jesus is coming soon. And attached to that certainty is the fact that he is the one who's in control of all things. And so don't give up on him. He'll certainly not give up on you. He is the one who matters. So there's a certainty, which is our first fourth point, which is the coming of Jesus. Therefore, keep going. Make sure you don't lose out on your crown. Just keep going. And don't forget, if you have those crowns. They're not really for our full enjoyment. We will cast our crowns before them, and he will have all the glory. So less crowns for us, less crowns to throw before him and adore him as a thought for your thinking. So we need to stabilize. We need to get the opportunity into our DNA as a church. We need to realize that we can go on beyond the difficulty, but we need to know the certainty. And finally, nobility. Nobility. Who's the nobility? Who are the nobility? Who are the nobility of England? Who are the nobility? What would you describe people with of nobility? They're the people with status, aren't they? There are people with titles. There are people of significance. There are people who are looked up to. Brothers and sisters, we are set for nobility. That's what we're set for. Eternal nobility. The lords and the ladies and the whoever will come and go in this world, but we are set for eternal nobility. So let's just go again into our passage. And those verses from 12 to 12, in verse 12, the one who conquers, I will make him a pillar. Now I just want to stop and think about that, the one who conquers. The one who conquers. The one who conquers. Well, can we just take time to think about that? You see, you may think this morning, as a result of what has been said, you may think, well, okay, that's we can't be thinking about doing much at Belton Evangelical Church. I can't think about being involved because of all the people that are around. They're not very this, that, or the other, or the things that are happening in the church. Therefore, I don't think I'm going to bother doing anything because I think it's all a dead loss. I'm not going to get involved. But the Lord said, everyone, each person, you are answerable for you. Other people may be messing it up and they may be messing the church up according to your thinking, but it is the one who conquers. It's the one who says, yes, Lord, I know you're stabilizing us. I know there's an opportunity. I'm going to go for it through the difficulties. And this has happened before in the passages. Go to chapter 2 and verse 26. You'll see there, what does it say? The one who conquers. And then last week's passage, go to chapter 3 and verse 5. It's the one who conquers. It is each of us individually. The church is made up of individuals. And we each have a responsibility to take charge for our own selves. So it's the one who rises up to these things and says, I'm going to go for this. He is going to be a person with a position in society. Not this society. Nobody may ever know about you at Belton or on your street. But in eternity, you will be known. You will be known as somebody with a position. You are a pillar. The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go out of it. Going back to the earthquakes from earlier, when all those when the earthquake took place in AD 17, everything was demolished except for a pillar. You show up in Philadelphia, and you know what? You find a pillar. That was all that was pretty well left. Amidst all the rubble and stones and stuff, there was a pillar that stood. And he's saying to them, you'll be a pillar, not in Philadelphia, but in this land. You'll be one who stands. You'll be one with a position. And we do speak about this, don't we? In Galatians chapter 2, it speaks about those who are the pillars of the church. And we speak about what? We speak about people who are pillars of the community. Well, those are people with a position. They're people, solid people. We're going to have a bigger community with which we are. You can continue. If you conquer, if you go for it, if you step up and you say, I'm going for that. There's a condition here, you see. That's what I'm going for. Then you're destined for nobility, eternal nobility. In the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And you'll have a name. The nobility of this world
have their names, don't they?
Hello, lady, sir. We've got three names. With regard to these names, after that earthquake, they needed a lot of help, and Caesar helped them. So Philadelphia changed its name to Neo Caesarea. But it didn't last long. They went back to Philadelphia after a few years. But we're going to give names that are never going to change. Nobody's going to decide whether we're going to be Neo Caesarea or Philadelphia. We're going to be having three names for the whole of eternity. Never taken away. Always ours. And the first one is, and you'll leap forward to the latter end of Revelation here for these three names. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the New Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. Isn't it? Oh, we don't even know what other names is. Because we don't know what the new name is. One day it'll be revealed. Nobody knows yet. New name that he'll have. Jesus' new name will be our name. It'll be stamped on us. We're going to have this name. Some of you have got married. You may have ended up with a name that you never dreamed of or you never wanted. But here is a name that you'll always want. And you'll enjoy it forever because it tells you of grace, of a God who has won you, as a God who has blessed you, as the God who has intervened in your life. And you'll look at yourself and you'll say, I've got the name of my God upon me. I've got the name of his dwelling place upon me. I've got the name which is that special name that our Lord Jesus Christ has on me, and I'll be celebrating his grace forever and ever and ever. It's not a thing just to go around, as it were, in eternity and say, hey guys, look at me. I've got these, that's one name, two name, three name. Yeah, great. No, he's just celebrating grace upon grace. His favor is going to be there, but it's for those who conquer. It's for those who conquer. Eternal name. So we'll stabilize ourselves in God. We will be looking to the opportunity, going through the difficulty, aware of the certainty, expectant of the nobility, but all behind it is the fact of a weak church, a weak people, and the Lord's statement that my strength is made perfect in weakness. And the call that the Lord has upon us to keep going. Dear Sister Pat, who joined us for the prayer meeting online through the phone last Tuesday, but asked what she wanted us to pray for. What did she say? To keep going. Not glamorous, but I think from this passage, glorious. There's a lady, you may have heard of her, may not. The lady's name is Gabriella Anderson Scheiss. Swiss lady. Anybody heard? 5th of August 1984. Where were you on the 5th of August 1984? Well, she was in Los Angeles. And she was taking part in the ladies' marathon. And she finished 37. And you think, well, not much glamour in finishing 37. But you go online and you see what she went through to finish 37, and you'll see how in exhaustion and effectively just about to break down, she staggered around that final lap until finally, she got over the finishing line. And she'd done it. She kept going. And people, I don't think, remember who won the ladies' marathon in 1984, but there are those who go online and see Gabriella Anderson Schleiss, who kept going. Go and have a look yourself and see what she went through. finish the race. May that be us. And may we stabilize. And may we seize the opportunity going through the difficulty, knowing the certainty of his return and expectance of no good, which will be ours because of Christ. So let us rise up and put up. We're going to sing our final hymn this morning time now. Just to rise ourselves, rouse ourselves from people of the risen King. Let's go up, grow up, go on, move forward, take new territory for the Lord.